Katie Masouras, Senior Security Strategist with the Security Development Lifecycle Team at Microsoft. I'm joined here by Chris Hoff, Director of Cloud and Virtualization Solutions at Cisco. Chris, you're going to be talking to us at Blue Hat here about cloud fornication.
Indeed.
Tell me the subtitle of that talk, because I couldn't possibly remember it.
That's quite a mouthful. It's indiscriminate information intercourse involving internet infrastructure.
Very descriptive and
yes.
Alliterative.
Yes, I try.
Good job. Well done. So tell me a little bit about it.
Well, cloud is all the rage these days. You can't swing a dead cat without somebody using that word. And that's actually part of the premise of the talk, which is there are really two interesting perspectives when it comes to cloud, one from the consumer's perspective and one from the cloud provider's perspective. Consumers see anything that they, any service they use, where they connect over the internet, store, and or interact with their data with a third party, as being a cloud service. And I think that's a fair enough description for most people. So whether that's Gmail or Amazon, it doesn't really matter. We've seen the consumerization of IT really kind of lend itself to that term. And then we see what providers are starting to do in terms of differentiating their service, in terms of what cloud is, and it needs these five requirements and these characteristics, and has to be elastic, and has to be pay-per-view, pay-per-use. And the collision between those things makes it very difficult for people to first understand what is cloud, and then B, what are the security ramifications as it relates to putting your data and your applications in the cloud. So cloud fornication talks about how we're really building these new services on kind of this stacked turtles analogy, mm-hmm. turtles all the way down to the bottom, and relying on a lot of old, archaic, and in some cases very unstable sets of technology and assumptions to build this new computing paradigm that we're so enamored with.
So in terms of using that old technology, you'd think that, well, maybe one of the advantages of using older technology might be that the security models for those are well defined. Is that not the case, or is the application of these old technologies in new ways changing the security model too much?
So bingo, right? that's exactly the point. We for the most part have a very good handle on many elements of what cloud and any network-based service means from a security modeling, risk assessment, threat modeling perspective. It's only when we throw in this notion of disruptive innovation and we see the consumerization of that start to cloud the issue. That's why those two perspectives are so interesting and unique. So we when we look at, I'm slightly schizophrenic, it seems, at times, where there's, you know, I know how to do this. I know how to secure this. I know how to approach it. In many cases, it's not the technology that is the problem, it's how it's operationalized. And so my coworker, James Urquhart, did a great job in summarizing. He said, you know, cloud is not a technology, it's an operations model. Mm-hmm. And so it's really the different applications of some of these technologies and the slight spin and nuance of what they mean that start to kind of push people's buttons about the difference between kind of control or losing control, which is what cloud is about. It's about gracefully losing control, mm-hmm. giving the responsibility of your content applications to somebody else, but not letting go necessarily of the accountability for the ownership of the data. And that's pushing the boundaries. That's the difficulty we have.
That also sounds like responsibility with no authority and a little, you know, the recipe for disaster.
In some cases, it could be. Certainly, if you look at the deployment models where you have infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, and software as a service, I built this little graphical model which kind of illustrates the further down the stack the provider stops, the more responsible you still are for security and ownership of these problems. And what's interesting is the collision space between how these services are marketed and what people expect out of them. And they don't, in some cases, really fully understand that if I'm giving the operational responsibility over to a provider at the SaaS level where they own the entire stack, that's one set of models and things I'll have to think about. If the infrastructure as a service provider is just kind of providing me the bits and pieces, and I'm running virtual machines with operating systems, applications, and data on top of it, I still have to manage those the same way. So mm-hmm. depending on where you are in the deployment models, you could be really inviting, if you don't have mature practices, policies, if you don't have a set of good approaches to managing and understanding risk, you could be inviting a lot of disaster. But the reality is it's also shining a fair amount of light on not only what we do, how we do it, and why we do what we do in security in many cases. It's making us reconsider where we're investing. Because mm-hmm. if ultimately I'm moving the stuff out there and my services and budget for stuff that normally gets allocated for protecting stuff in here goes away, what is my role now? How does this work? How do I invest? How do I manage my portfolio? So from a security perspective, so it's good and bad.
So in terms of cloud service providers, what are the most important things they need to consider in terms of security? If you could distill that down into, you know, a sound bite.
Yeah, bite-sized nuggets.
Right.
So again, depending on the model of software as a service, platform, or infrastructure as a service, from a provider's perspective, at infrastructure as a service, you are, as a consumer's perspective, you're building it in. So the infrastructure and underlying mechanisms need to be as transparent and visible as possible to give people insight, security teams the ability to understand what's going on underneath the covers. I know from a business operations perspective, we like to think about the abstraction of all of that stuff, and that's great. But if I'm responsible for deploying compensating controls to be compliant, to be secure, to manage my risk accordingly, I need visibility. I don't want to give that up. So virtualization and cloud have kind of left me with not as many options as I would like. It's starting to improve. Software as a service, it is it's a black box. So both from the consumer's perspective, so the provider at the software as a service layer kind of looks at this as, why should you care? Here's an SLA, I've RFP'd it in, you understand what I'm going to deliver to you. If I don't, ramifications there. Platform as a service in the middle is kind of interesting because you have developmental hooks into a framework that allow people to write apps, but on my platform. So I think that's the most difficult case because the line is drawn in a little bit more fuzzy perspective, because if I patch the platform to which the apps are on, is an interesting case, is that going to blow the apps up? How do I trickle in apps? How do I cycle the vulnerability management processes through that? So each, from a provider's perspective, you have to be very, very careful about making sure that the expectations are set accordingly, so that the consumers of the service, and specifically IT and security, also know what they're getting themselves into and what they can expect.
Wow. So thanks a lot for joining us, and I'm really looking forward to your talk.